If you would, take your Bibles and open them into the book of Acts. I'll be referring. We'll just be in Acts chapter 1 and 2 today. I don't think I have you turning anywhere else for this study. But what I would like to do is read what we are going to cover text-wise in chapter 2 for this session and also the next session. We're actually doing two Acts studies this morning since we don't have Sunday school this morning. So we're actually going to cover verses 1 through 4 in the first session. And then we're going to cover verses 5 through 11 in the second session. Okay, but I'm going to read the entire passage, verses 1 through 11 for you this morning as we get started. Just to give you some context, they go together, but there's too much to cover and to try and squeeze it all together without having a 2-hour study or something. So allow me to read verses 1 through 11 of Acts chapter 2. Okay, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." All right, let me just pray briefly. Lord, help us to focus our attention on your word, and may we learn what is true, and may we do what is right. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The title, even itself, may be a bad title to this sermon. The apostles are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll explain maybe more as we go, but one of the questions is, who does this relate to? Who is this happening to? It could be the apostles. It could be all the 120 disciples. We don't really know for sure, but I'll explain that as we go. And are you baptized in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit? It can be translated either way. All right, but let's get started here. I have 3 points for verse 1 here. Verse 1 again is, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So number 1 here, I call it the timing. And there's more that's significant here than you realize. It appears that there's a lot more here than what you might first gather. When it says here the day of Pentecost had fully come, Pentecost occurred 50 days after Passover. What happened on Passover? What happened on Passover in the Old Testament? Lamb was sacrificed. What happened on Passover just 50 days prior? Christ was crucified. And I don't know if you remember, but he rose again. And he was around for how many days? 40 days with the apostles, other disciples, right? So this gives you an idea of how long it had been since Jesus, right before he ascended, he told the apostles to stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. You're endued with power. So Jesus was crucified on Passover. He rose again the third day. Right? Probably portions of days is how we understand that. And then he was around for 40 days. So probably about a week they had to wait in Jerusalem. Jesus hadn't been gone that long. He said, wait in Jerusalem. You'll receive the promise of the Father not many days from now. And he wasn't kidding. So the day is reached. It says here when the day of Pentecost is fulfilled. Is it talking about the calendar event? Right? Like we think of a holiday. You know, the day has come. Whatever the holiday you might be looking for, the Independence Day, Thanksgiving, Labor Day, Memorial Day, whatever. It has arrived. It could be speaking from that standpoint, right? Or it could be what relates to actually the fulfillment of what Pentecost is intending to picture. Pentecost began with the Feast of the First Fruits. What happened on the day of Pentecost? We won't see this till actually next week or possibly even later. But over 3,000 souls were saved. How's that for a first fruits? Right? For the church as it began. So the day is reached. And then I put down in letter B here, the picture fulfilled. It is not outside the scope of God to do things on feast days. He did with the death of Jesus as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the real Passover Lamb. And here the church began on the day of what? Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. By the way, Pentecost simply means 50th. Right? It's 50 days after. There's 7 weeks and a day. It's the Feast of Pentecost is when you would celebrate that. But some people, and there's no way to know for sure because Jesus said you don't know in the hour when Jesus is going to come back. But some people will often think of Jesus possibly returning on the Feast of the Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah in September, right? And just because he's done things for the feast then, maybe that pictures the rapture, maybe it doesn't. So I wouldn't live or die by that interpretation, but it wouldn't surprise me either. I always think about that when we're near Rosh Hashanah in September. Okay? So the timing is at the Feast of Pentecost there. Right? And it's probably about a week after they had seen Jesus ascend into heaven. And roughly 50 days from when Jesus had been crucified. All right? Now, this is the one that's maybe a little uncertain. And I actually titled and printed off the bulletin before I finished studying, right? So, and that happens. But I call it the attendees. The attendees. It says, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, the Greek isn't really as verbose as this. It literally says, they were being. And I underlined they were because it's imperfect. They were being. So it was, we talked about imperfect as like a video. We saw the year in review and there were some videos. Right, so you actually see ongoing activity of some strange thing about kids sliding downstairs on cardboard, right? Things like that. You see something happening. It's a video rather than a snapshot. So they were all being with one accord in one place. And then it They were literally all together upon the same. That's all it says. So it's in the same place, is like the word place is suggested. And accord, that's just kind of the idea of they're in the same place doing the same thing. But it's just one word, the same. They were in the same. But who are they? That's the hard part. So I wrestled with this, and I actually changed my mind, but I still don't know for sure. Who was at the ascension? I think that's pretty clear. Do you recall who was at Jesus' ascension? It was just the 11 apostles. Right? We delineated that in chapter 1. It was only the 11 remaining apostles that were there. Right? All the way through chapter 1. But when they go back to Jerusalem, as Jesus commanded them to do, and wait. That's all they're supposed to do, is wait until you get the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, not many days in. And then even later on in Acts chapter 1, they were told that, you know, you'll be witnesses, Jesus says to me. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? So they're waiting for that to happen. But who does this happen to? Who does Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 11 happen to? So I would say most likely, and I have it in your notes here, chapter 1 verses 14 and 15, at first I'm like thinking, well, the most recent reference today is in chapter 1 verse 26. If you have your Bibles open there, it says, "And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with," and then it has the 11 apostles. Well, the first antecedent today would be the 11 apostles. But it seems like they're all together, and maybe it's the 120 disciples. Apostles are the 11 remaining that are appointed, plus they chose Matthias at the end of chapter 1. But disciples are any followers. So apostles are followers, but not all followers are apostles, right? We've mentioned that before. An apostle is a formal position selected by Jesus. Disciples, we're disciples of Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus, believers of Jesus. But chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it's in your notes, but it's also obviously right in front of you if you have your Bible open. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication," these 12, if you will, these 11, "with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples," and then in parentheses it says here, "all together the number of names was about" how many? 120. Now it doesn't matter one way or the other to me so much. I want to be accurate. But who this happens to might be a little bit significant, but not a whole lot, because I believe it ultimately impacts every one of us. But it appears, I would say, it's probably talking about all of the disciples. There's no way to know for sure by the wording. So you can't be dogmatic about it. It's probably either or, right? It's the apostles, including Matthias, or it's the entire group of disciples that's 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers and the women, all of that. But I think it's probably the latter. I think it's probably the whole group. They were all with one accord in one place. Now, let's look at the location here. That's number 3. Still in chapter 1 here, I already said it's the same. They're all in one place, the same. It just says they're all in the same, all in the same place. And later on, verse 2 says, what happens fills the whole house. Some people try to force that to say they were in the temple, but it's never, the word house is never used for the word temple, in the place of the word temple. It's probably most likely that they're in that upper room, that bigger room where all of them are still there. Again, you can't be adamant about this. You can't be dogmatic about this. But we know for a fact they're still in this, the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus had commanded them, and so being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, right? But to wait for the promise. So they're in Jerusalem. They remained there. We talked about that throughout the chapter 1. But they're also in the place, this house. They're in a house somewhere. The reason why they want to have the temple is because of all the people that show up in very short order. But it doesn't require a house to do that, or a temple to do that. All right? So the place is in a house. We know that in chapter 2, verse 2. Right? It's in Jerusalem, a house in Jerusalem. We know that much. And we think it's probably the whole group of disciples. They're waiting there. And Jesus said, it won't be very long before you get the promise of the Father. You'll be endued with power of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be witnesses. Okay, we'll wait. And so they are waiting. Now, verse 2 says this, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, I want to caution you. Pay attention to what it says. What just happened in verse 2? What just occurred in verse 2? A sound. Not a wind. The subject is sound or noise. There was no wind. And it's amazing how many commentaries will talk about the wind. There's no wind. What's there? It's the sound like a wind. If you were to take a movie of this, all you would see was people sitting there, and you'd hear this loud sound like a violent wind. But it doesn't say there's a violent wind anywhere. It just says there's a sound that sounds like a violent wind. Make sense? Papers aren't blowing around in the building and, you know, people are holding on to their hats and all that. No. It's simply a sound. You have to read what is there. And again, it's amazing how many commentators will speak of the wind, and there's no wind. There's a sound. And the sound sounds like. Okay? I call it the sudden noise. That's what this is. It's not a sudden wind. It's a sudden what? Noise. And it says here, a sound from heaven. Sound from heaven. Literally out of the heaven. It's coming from above. When you say out of the heaven, you would be looking up. You know, maybe, what is that loud sound? What is going on? It's sudden. They're there in a room and all of a sudden, boom! Whatever the sound is like. Okay? And it says, came a sound. You might want to circle that in your notes. It came a sound. Right? Not a wind, a sound from heaven. And the sound is as a rushing mighty wind. The word rushing is actually, it's a mighty wind. And then it adds an adjective on the end. It could actually be translated violent. And I put in letter C there, like a violent wind. So whether it's like, you know, if someone was, well here, see if I can do this. Like, you know, or whatever, someone blowing, but it would be a lot louder than that probably, right? Okay? I don't know. That's going to really, you know, right there up there? Right, but it's the sound. And it's probably a lot louder, and it's sudden. It's just all of a sudden it would be like, you know how sometimes in a strange moment you get feedback in the sound system? Now that doesn't sound like a mighty rushing wind. It sounds like someone's fingernails on a very big blackboard. You know, or something. But it would be startling to them. It would be this very loud sound, and it sounds like a violent wind. And all I can think of is it would be like someone you just, but very, very loud. Because it's a sound of a violent wind. But it's a sound, it's not a what? It's not a wind, it's a sound that sounds like, if you were to describe it, you would say, well, it sounded like a really strong wind. Right? You'd say that. You hear people describing tornadoes. The only problem is, though, a tornado is a strong wind. Right? So it's not quite the same. They say, well, it sounds like a train. You ever been near a tornado? I've only been on one. And I always thought of the train whistle. No, it's just the train. Right? It's just a... sounds like a train. It doesn't sound like a train whistle. It just sounds... you know, when it's going by. So, but that's what this is. Like a strong wind. It's just like something blasting. But there's no wind, but it's just a sound of a strong wind, okay? And then notice here it says the sound, not the wind, the sound filled the entire house where they were sitting. Okay, it was just a huge, loud sound. And it really depends on how you understand the passage, but it was, seemed loud enough that people at least a proximity heard it outside of the house. If you filled this building with sound, chances are people will hear it outside of this building. And remember, they didn't have windows like we do that kind of block the sound. They would have openings, right? You would maybe cover it with cloth, but cloth lets sound out, right? So there's this very loud sound like a strong, violent wind. And people hear the sound from outside the house. Okay, it's a loud sound throughout the house. And it's a sudden sound. So it's like, I don't like to be startled. Some people, maybe I grew up and got startled too much, you know, where you scare someone and you stay behind and blah. I don't like to do that anymore. And maybe because I don't like it done to myself, I don't do it to other people. But this would startle everybody. And they wouldn't really know what's going on. And maybe they had the presence of mind then to think maybe this is what Jesus was talking about. But it sounds like it happened so quickly that they probably just had no idea, right, to start with. So the sudden noise. Now the next verse, I want you again to be cautioned here about what it says. Then, right after this loud sound, and it was loud enough to fill the whole house. That is a loud sound. Right? And it would have bled out into the neighborhood, that loud of a sound. The sound filled the whole building. Then, verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, what is the subject of verse 3? What happened here? And it's not hard to read, but usually people mix it up because they're changing what they read into something they didn't read. What appears? Divided tongues. And I'll just take the word tongues. That's the subject. Okay? That's the subject. Not what? Not fiery tongues, and not fire. Are you with me? It's not fire. A lot of people say it's wind and fire, and it's like no and no. It's sound and tongues that look like fire. That's a difference. That's a difference, right? They're describing as best as possible in a very brief way what it sounds, a sound and what it sounds like, And whatever that phenomena is that happens, it's a tongue that looks like fire. Okay? Read it again. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Okay? What sat on each of them? This tongue. How else would you say it? A tongue, maybe a leaf. You know, it looks like a tongue. Whatever a tongue looks like. A tongue is kind of a non-descriptive thing. Really, you know what it is? It's not really that descriptive, really. But here it is, the dividing tongues. The dividing tongues. Right? They're not fire. They look like fire. As it says here, of fire. Tongues as of fire. It doesn't say they're fire. They're similar to fire. Okay? Like fire, literally, is what the Greek says. Just like fire. They're not fire. They're like fire. Now, what happens here? It says here, divided tongues. What does that mean? Is it describing each tongue? And they're split somehow? Like the New King James seems to hint at? Divided tongues? Or does it mean something else? It could describe the tongues. However, the word divided is not past tense, it's present tense. And it's a participle, dividing tongues. That's why I gave you that as the point, the dividing tongues. The word that's translated divided or dividing is used 11 times in the New Testament. It's used one time. The last time it's used in the New Testament is Acts 2, verse 45. Can you slide down there in Acts chapter 2, verse 45? I'm going to read verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and what? Divided them among all as anyone had need. Okay? Now Luke uses this word more than anybody else. It's only used 11 times. Twice in Acts. I think each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, use it once. So that's five. So that means Luke uses it six more times. I think all but one in the Gospels refer to Jesus' clothes being divided by the soldiers, by rolling dice or whatever for the soldiers. So what are they doing? What is it describing here? It's not describing what it looks like. It's describing how it's propagating. Apparently, whatever this tongue that looks like a fire is splitting, it's dividing, just like they divided their food in Acts, and just like the soldiers divided the clothes, here you take these and you take these, it's the way it's propagating. They're splitting off. So if you would take a picture or a video again, you would see this flame splitting and spreading over all of these disciples. So it's describing how it's propagating, not the flame itself. The flame tongues, if you will, the tongues that look like fire, are splitting. They're dividing so that they go over and land on each person. These tongues, like fire, are splitting. They keep propagating until they sat upon each one. It's a tongue that looks like fire. That's all we know about it. And they seem to be dividing. It divides until all of the believers have this tongue of fire. Each one of them has a tongue of fire on them. I even thought that maybe it could be one that just moved around. But this word dividing seems to be no, it actually split and rested on everybody. in that area, okay? So the dividing tongues, it's propagating, it's splitting till it's above everyone. Now, the next part here is what it looked like. It's a tongue like fire, not fire, but like fire, difference, right? Fire burns things. This didn't burn. It just was a tongue that looked like fire. It could be just a bright light or something. How would you describe it in that time? You know, a bright light that's just above somebody's head or whatever. Well, it's kind of like fire. Right? You wouldn't say flashlight because they didn't have a flashlight. You wouldn't, you know, you'd be very limited, right? What it did, it says it, and one sat upon each of them. And so every person, whoever they were, and if it's all the disciples that it's talking about, then it, how many disciples had these tongues like fire on them? All of them, right? One on each of them. Now, what did it look like? Where were they sitting on these people? I mean, don't we have photographic evidence of this? It even says they were sitting in the house. Most of the time you see them standing. Maybe the loud noise would cause you to stand. That abrupt and very loud noise. I don't know. But it says the tongue, what does it say here? Sat on each of them. That's all we know. We don't know how it sat. A lot of pictures will show it hovering above their head. It doesn't say that. If they're sitting down, what if it was in their lap? How would you know? You don't know. The Bible doesn't tell you that information. It's not really that big of a description. There was a tongue of fire, the tongue that looks like fire, that sat on each of them. It doesn't say where it sat. Shoulder? Which one? Head above the head. Hopefully it's not fire. Right? Down here on their lap. We don't know. It doesn't say. Right? So I think we have to be careful. By the way, I'll go back to letter B. I have middle or passive. It's being divided or it's dividing itself. Middle means it's something is doing it for yourself. Middle, dividing itself. If it's passive, it's being done. If it's middle, it's dividing itself. Okay, so it's one or the other. But either way, it seems to be splitting. Okay, so let me tell you, my eyes have been opened so far in verses 1, 2, and 3. Because it's different than what I thought. If you would have asked me earlier this week, tell me what happened there. I said, well, there was wind and there was fire. And actually, no, there was sound and a tongue. And by the way, the tongue is glossa, which is like it's used another time in this passage in a completely different way. Because something looks like a tongue has nothing to do with what that tongue does. Make sense? So it's a tongue, dividing tongue, but we don't know what that is. We don't know what it is. We don't really know what it looks like. It's like fire. So it's very nondescript, really. Now, the last point for this morning's session, before we go to break time here, is the Spirit filling. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And who were they? They is either the 12 or the 120. And I think it's probably the 120. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other what? Tongues. Guess what that word is? Same word that is like the thing that sat on them that looked like fire. But it seems to not be connected. Because this is, they spoke with other tongues. That's something you say or do. The other looked like tongues, right? It was a tongue. That's the best you could describe it. There's not really any strong connection in the way this word is used in the text. Okay? A tongue that was dividing that looked like fire. Okay?
And here, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, this is plural. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So I'll give you six brief points here. It's Jesus' promise fulfilled. Go back to chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, you got that? I want to jump to verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Right? So there's that. That's Jesus still talking. Now go to chapter 2, verse 33. This is in the middle of, or toward the tail end of Peter's sermon that we won't get to for a couple weeks. Verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. So Peter understood that very day that Jesus said, what Jesus had promised had happened. It is now past tense. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Right? It's interesting. We'll probably spend more time in this. But it says they were filled with the Spirit. We're not arguing that point. It doesn't say anything about them being baptized with the Spirit, as Jesus had promised. But Peter understood this to be the fulfillment of what Jesus had promised. So we're going to work through that. You have to kind of connect the dots for that. But filling is different than being baptized. They're two different activities. Okay? Baptized in the Spirit is different than being filled by the Spirit. One happens only once. The other, we are commanded to let it happen all the time. Okay, as for part of that here. And then look at verse 38. At the end of Peter's message here, it says, of chapter 2, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe he's talking about water here. And for the remission of sins, we'll talk about that. It's not saying you're baptized to be saved. We'll talk about that later. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter understands that when it came, it'll apply to everybody going forward. Believers get the gift of the Spirit. So we're going to talk about that in more detail. But Peter understood that what has happened just now and what Peter ends up preaching that same day is the fulfillment of what Jesus had promised. We're going to come back to that, not today, but soon, okay, to help you understand that better. Letter B here, they began to speak. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about filling, but filling has to do with being controlled, completely filled. You're controlled, and one of the best explanations I've heard of is you can be filled with anger, and then what happens? Your anger controls you. The Bible tells us we're to be filled with the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is supposed to control us. Do not be drunk with wine, because it controls you, right? But be what? Controlled, filled, the Spirit of God, right? And they began to speak in other tongues. Other tongues. So we're going to explain what that is in the next session. And this is the word glossa again. So other tongues. Notice here, it says it's Spirit-given content. As the Spirit gave them utterance. It's what the Spirit had them say. And at least the United Bible Society Translators Help Handbook, they call it, suggests that the wording here is also giving the idea that they weren't all talking at the same time, which makes sense based upon what Paul says later on, one at a time. So if everyone's talking, you don't really know what's being said. Fair? So as the Spirit gives utterance, one person will speak, then another person speaks, or another person speaks, another person speaks. So it was distinct rather than chaotic, if that makes sense. Which I always thought, no, it's just... Well, you wouldn't have anything. If a lot of people are talking, nobody can hear, understand anything, especially if they're different languages. That would be a cacophony, a horrible sound, right? And then it's for the Spirit. I call it, all of these are, with the ideas are Spirit-given purpose. It's being done by means of the Spirit for the reason the Spirit wants it to be done. And we'll talk about that. We won't even get into that this week. But what are tongues meant to do? What are they for? And we'll get into that probably in a couple weeks. So the timing, it's Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified. It's on the feast day. They're together. The attendees, most likely it's all 120 of them. Right? They all spoke praises to God ultimately. We'll see that in verse 11 eventually this morning. They weren't preaching, because that's one of the things I wrestle with, because that would be inconsistent. But they all were speaking. Okay? And then the location is in Jerusalem in the house. There was a sudden noise, a very loud noise, and it sounded like what a loud, violent wind would sound like. It doesn't appear that there was any wind. It was just a sound that if you were to describe it, it sounds like a very loud wind. And then dividing tongues, the tongues, we don't know anything more except they're tongues, and they seem to be dividing so that they ended up on top of, not even on top of, they sat on, whatever that means, every believer in that house. Right? And the tongue looked like fire. It's so brief, you're like, tell me more. You know, you wish you knew more. And then ultimately, the end result, there was the noise, something you heard, something you saw, and then apparently all of these believers began speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance, which again appears to be sequentially rather than chaotically. Okay? So we're going to leave off here now. We're going to go take our break, and then we're going to come back and ask the question, what are the tongues in Acts chapter 2? And it kind of explains itself in verses 5 through 11. That's why they go together. So it's a good day to do this. So.